الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a great promise with us or a great agreement with us. And this agreement is a very, very grand bargain for each person that fulfills that covenant. For example, if you look at the agreement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made with us, the covenant that we have with Allah, in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has specified for us Jannah. In that agreement, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has specified for us forgiveness of sin. In that agreement, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has specified for us perpetual reward and endless bliss. So many of the benefits that we take from deen, we would not be able to find anywhere else. And all of it arises from this covenant that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made with the believer. I mean, just think about it. Which person in this room would be able to afford Jannah? No one in this room can afford Jannah. Even if the whole world gathered together and dug all the wealth from the earth, that would not even be enough for one person's Jannah, let alone the Jannah of each individual that has the opportunity to attain it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has offered something greater than what could even be present for all of humanity throughout the history of time to one individual. All of humanity throughout the history of time, whatever wealth they were able to amass, whatever bliss they were able to experience, whatever ecstasy they were able to partake of, it's nothing compared to even just a moment in Jannah. It's nothing even compared to a moment in Jannah. All of humanity's enjoyment is nothing compared to even one moment in Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not promise it to one individual. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises it to any individual. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not promise it for 1 second or for 1 day or for 1 year. For each individual, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises it for eternity. For eternity. So where can a person find such a bargain? It's not possible to find such a bargain in any other shop except the shop of deen. It's not possible to find that bargain in any other shop except the shop of deen. This is the covenant that we have with our Lord. Where will you find a circumstance where we can provide deficiency and receive what's whole? Where can you find that circumstance? Look what Allah says to us. Bring yourselves with your mistakes, seek forgiveness for those mistakes, and Allah will overlook those mistakes and reward you. There's no place you find that. No professor on the face of the planet will ever say to you, give me your garbage, I will give you an A. Give me your laziness, I will give you a degree. Take your attention away from me, I will give you a perfect relationship. Nobody does that. No, which boss says, don't work, I will give you a salary. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we fulfill the covenant, is willing to accept our deficiencies, is willing to overlook our mistakes, is willing to put aside our sins so long as we turn to Him, and is willing to give us the complete reward when only a deficient sum was paid. That's the bargain. That's called deen. That's what deen is. That's what the deen actually translates to, transaction. That's the transaction. That's the bargain. That's the deen that we find ourselves having the opportunity to take advantage of. Now, what is our end of the covenant? These are the promises from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if a person sincerely turns towards Him, He will wipe away their sins. No matter how, no matter if they're as big as the foam on the sea. That if a person sincerely seeks a reward from Allah, then even if they don't have the ultimate ability to attain that reward, they will be rewarded merely on their intention. That if a person does one good deed, Allah will multiply it sometimes 10, sometimes 27, sometimes hundreds of times. This is the covenant. But what does it require from us? What do we have to do? We have only a very few simple things to do, which are a tiny cost for the ultimate reward. The first, we have to always have hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be turned to. No one can ever give up that hope, no matter what the circumstance. A person can find themselves in the most complex and dire of straits. They can find themselves having made mistakes that they never thought that they would be able to do. They could find themselves in a circumstance which they completely regret and would be completely ashamed of. But they have to turn to Allah and no one else. That's the first step in this covenant. Now, what's the extremity of that? The extremity of that is a person comes having worshipped idols. Right? That's the extremity of that scenario. That a person comes having worshipped idols and from generations of idol worship, and they turn away from that and they take the shahada and they accept the oneness of Allah. That's the extreme. That would be the worst circumstance. Everybody else, whatever they come with, they come with, but they have to turn back to Allah. They have to remove their idols, whatever that might be, and everybody has them in their lives. And they have to turn to Allah. That's step one. And once that turning to Allah occurs, then they have to make their best effort to maintain that covenant by doing a handful of easy and small things. Like offering prayer. Like paying zakah from their excess wealth. Like fasting in the month of Ramadan. And making Hajj once in their life. These are few small things. They're minuscule compared to that. You know, it could have been that we would have spent our whole lives in sajda, that we would have fasted our whole existence, that we would have never partaken of even a bit of our wealth, that we would have remained in prayer continuously, and it would still be a great deal that we would get Jannah. It would still be cheap. It would still be amazing. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking for so little. Turn towards me and offer prayer 5 times a day. And how long does a prayer take? 5 minutes? 10 minutes? So in the 5 times prayer in a day, a person maybe offers, let's say, 40 minutes worth of prayer out of 24 hours of their existence. It's very, very small. And it even benefits the person because it allows them to reflect and reset and brings peace to them in their walking through this life. Very small amount is required from the believer, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts it and then returns it back to them with an immense reward. Now, in the context of that covenant, for us, because we've gotten past step A, which is basically that we've turned towards our Lord and we are seeking His forgiveness and we recognize our mistakes and our inefficiencies and inabilities, and we seek Allah to fulfill whatever we have been able to offer. But for us, after that step, the next step is prayer. We have to make every effort. Every person in this room has to make every effort to keep the prayer intact. Because the prayer becomes the foundational pivot point, which then guides the vector in different directions. We have to be very firm and very clear about this. Every opportunity that when prayer arises, we have to make sure that we fulfill the rite of prayer. If prayer is good, everything else will be good. And if prayer is bad, then we've got problems downstream. So this has to be something that we have to put a huge premium on, because this is where the battle is, right? If prayer is that thing that affects the direction of the vector, then that's the same thing that Shaban attacks. It's the same thing that Shaban attacks. When a person gets home and they're tired and they're sitting there and they're thinking, I just want to go to sleep. I don't, you know, maybe I shouldn't pray right now. That's a sign that Shaban is coming and trying to break that covenant, because Shaban does not want us to receive Allah's mercy, Allah's forgiveness, and Allah's infinite reward. His sole purpose in existence is to take us away from Allah. So because prayer is so essential to the direction that we eventually go in, Shaitan's focus is on prayer for the believer. Like, why talk about something so simple? Why talk about prayer? Because prayer is the issue. Making sure that we pray, making sure that we pray on time, ideally making sure that we pray in Jama'ah. That's where the challenge lies. So we have to recognize that, and we have to defend the prayer. Now, how do you defend the prayer? You defend the prayer by as much as possible praying it in Jama'ah. That's like the first layer of defense. And then when not possible to pray in Jama'ah, the next layer of defense is that you pray it at its beginning, the beginning of its time. Now, I know that there's hadith and fiqh behind when you should offer the prayer. Right? And it goes into the details of what's the best time to offer the prayer. And as much as possible, we should fulfill those, because those are ways by which we increase the reward of prayer. But in this day and age, and given the busyness of today's life, and given the short time, especially once the hour moves back like it has, given the short time that exists between the windows of prayer, if we don't pray it at the beginning time, there's a high possibility that it'll be missed. A person who delays their dhuhr prayer until 2 o'clock is just living at the edge. We should pray that prayer at 12 o'clock or whenever it comes in. You know, so that we don't take the risk of breaking ourselves from that covenant, because that prayer is essential to that covenant. We have to be very particular about this in this day and age. You know, Isha the same way. Once it gets dark, people start feeling tired. People start feeling like, I'm not going to be able to get to the prayer, and they start feeling sleepy. They invariably will end up making excuses. So we should, if we know that that happens to us, then we should pray it as soon as it comes in, so that we don't miss it. So we have to analyze ourselves. Now, if there's a person, they're able to maintain their schedule, they're able to get to the masjid, they're able to pray the prayer in Jama'at, that's ideal. That's the best way by which it's protected. But if that doesn't exist, then each person needs to gauge for themselves. If a person finds that they're having trouble with prayer, then they need to say to themselves, okay, the next step is for me to pray it at the beginning of its time until I can get the strength to be able to establish it in its ideal time. I'm not saying that the ideal times are not relevant. I'm saying they're relevant they may be relevant depending on your context. So we have to analyze those for ourselves. But we should be very particular in appreciating this covenant, because it's the best deal for everyone. None of us would have been able to attain Jannah. None of us would have been able to have a relationship with our Lord. It's a blessing upon each of us that we have that opportunity. And so we should do everything in our power to fulfill it. That fulfillment actually begins with prayer. So we should be very particular about our prayer. We should be very particular about offering the prayer on time. We should be very particular about making up prayer if we miss it at its time. And we should be very particular about buffering that prayer so that it's protected. How do you buffer it? You buffer it by having it in Jama'ah. You buffer it by placing it in the masjid. We buffer it by putting sunnahs around it. We buffer it by not rushing through it.
by trying to enjoy it. We buffer it by studying the fiqh of it. We buffer it by understanding what is being recited within it. We buffer it by reflecting on what it actually means. And eventually what happens is as that those buffers are added, then the natural heat of prayer builds up. And when the natural heat of prayer builds up, then a person begins to feel its warmth and becomes attracted to it and becomes excited about it and begins to desire it because they can see that the effects, they can see its effects. But if it's not layered, then it doesn't produce that warmth. It's like any, you know, a person going out on a cold day. Like I've said before, jackets don't warm you up. Jackets keep you warm. Your body is naturally warm. The jacket, when it's layered around, or when a person puts on layers on a cold day, those layers are trapping the heat that's inherent to the body. Salah has its own heat. Salah has its own heat. We buffer it with things, we insulate it with things, so that we can maintain that heat, so that we can feel its warmth, so that we can enjoy it, so that we can gain its benefits. But that's on us. And essential in that buffering process is to make sure that we offer the prayer. Otherwise, the whole notion of the heat of the prayer dies. The mere offering of the prayer has to be established in order for us to be able to insulate that. So we should be particular about our prayer. If we've missed prayer, we should seek forgiveness from Allah. We should make a commitment each day when we wake up to offer those prayers at their time, and ideally at the appropriate time, and ideally in the appropriate place. And we should make every effort that we can to buffer it. But in these days, especially in these winter days, when the days are so short and things just progress so quickly, be very careful about the prayer. Be very careful about the prayer. Because time moves very quickly and it's very easy to lose sense of time. And all of a sudden it becomes 2:30, 3 o'clock, and we start thinking, where did the day go? And one prayer gets lost. And once one prayer gets lost, shaitan makes it easy for the next one to get lost. Allah has provided us a very, very special opportunity. And no one else in the world can, nothing in existence can match it. But it requires, it's a covenant, it's a contract, it's a two-way agreement. But it requires a very, very small effort on our part. It's very cheap compared to, the work is very low compared to the pay which a person can receive. So we should be consistent, we should be grateful, we should make every effort we can. And where we've fallen, we should stand up and seek Allah's forgiveness and continue along this path, inshaAllah. Wa akhiru ta'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. So muraqabah and dhikr is done? Okay, inshaAllah, jazakAllah. So I apologize for being late today, I had to take care of something. But just a few quick announcements. So the first is that Isha Salah is at 7:15. In the masjid. Adhan is called at 7 o'clock. And the next gathering will be on Sunday again after Maghrib Salah, inshallah. Wa akhiru ta'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Oh, what was this announcement? Who asked me to make an announcement? Sorry? Oh, okay. So, you want to distribute these cards? Why are you distributing them? For people to know about it or to give to other people? Okay. Why don't you make this announcement then? You know the announcement.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. As you know, we're in a critical stage with the Sacred Learning Masjid project, and especially with the holidays coming up, we wanted each of us to be the representatives of this project, especially when you're going to meet relatives during the holiday season. I have a number of cards, and the sisters do as well. Please make sure to leave with some and to discuss the details of the project that are listed on the flyer. And please donate generously yourself as you have in the past, and please encourage others to do so as well.
Just as a quick update, so everybody knows where the project's at. Essentially, as you're aware, the groundbreaking occurred in August, and the vast majority of the foundation has been dug. Aside from the foundation, there's all the site utilities that had to be plugged in. You have to plug in the water, you have to plug in the electric, etc. So most of that is done. And now, basically, what remains is that the little bit of excavation, 2-3 days worth of excavation, and then eventually pouring of this concrete, and then eventually erecting the steel structure, and then there's a few steps, and then eventually the building gets complete. So on late last week, we signed the final contract with the group that's going to be managing all of this. They're one of these professional firms that, you know, just builds things. This is what they do, and they do, you know, they build in a very, very quick and efficient way. So essentially what happens is you sign the contract, and as soon as you sign the contract, in that contract is a date, and they usually provide the building by that date. So there's a little bit of variability to this date because the clock doesn't technically start ticking for a couple more weeks. But once the clock starts ticking, then technically they have like 240-something days, roughly, to produce the building. So when you add in the possibility, that's in a perfect world. When you add in the possibility of weather delays and this and that, it adds a couple of weeks here and there. But I'm very hopeful that, inshallah, we will have this building by Labor Day. So less than a year. That's the hope, inshallah. Anything can happen, but essentially we're the group that's building the building. It's not me and you, you know, who are just sitting there and trying to manage it. This is a professional group that puts up things in just weeks. You know, you drive by and there's no Wendy's, and then there's a Wendy's 2 weeks later, and that's those kind of people, you know. So we basically just handed it to those kind of people because it's more efficient, and it was actually, in this case, more cost-effective. So we got, mashallah, alhamdulillah, you know, may Allah make it easy and make this the right decision, but it just really, I feel like it strongly that it really worked out in our favor, and not because of anything except the sincerity of the people that have been involved to date and the sincere du'as of all the people that are wishing for, you know, this next step in our development of our community. So now what's going to happen is the only issue that remains is that they need the money. They don't just build it without the money. So they were willing, and they don't usually do this, they were willing to take X amount of money in the account to show that we have this much money to be able to start the project on the condition that as the money gets drawn down from the initial amount that they took, which, you know, they don't take it, you put it in an account, and as they complete the work, it gets released from that account as they prove that they did the work. So it's called an escrow. So now what basically remains is that they have one condition in their contract, which is that we will work to get this thing done, but if the account ever gets to the point where it's below the next 2 months' worth of work, they will stop. So basically, who does that put the responsibility on now? It puts it on us. So once the phase is finalized, now it becomes incumbent on us to fund that account so that it's always 2 months ahead, which is not the easiest thing in the world. But we felt, you know, internally, we felt that the response of the community and the du'as of the individuals involved and the hard work that everybody has put in, with that backdrop, that it's safe enough to sign that contract. Now, it's not that we would lose the building. I'm not saying that you would lose the building if that money wasn't present. But again, we would be delayed. So, you know, and it could technically, they could drop the project, which we wouldn't want. So basically, it's now, the ball is now in our court. And a lot of time and energy and effort has gone into the design phase and into the planning of the construction and into bidding out all the individual subcontractors. All of that's done. We did all that. I'm just, you know, I would say there's like 5% left on our end, which inshallah we'll finish. And then after that, we have to go crazy to raise this. We have to get that money in that account. We cannot let that account drop below the number necessary to proceed continuously for 2 months. And I know most masajid always run into this issue. Well, first of all, they would never usually contract this way because it would be hard for them to have that much money to be able to even sign the initial agreement. So alhamdulillah, we were able to do that, which, by the way, everybody does this. Every single major entity in the world that does any kind of building does it this way. They use these firms, you know, universities, libraries, churches, synagogues. Every group builds this way. So we as a small community haven't been able to do that, but this project is different. And we want it to be done in this way. So now, basically, that responsibility is going to be on us. So to date, we've done a lot. Alhamdulillah, we've done a tremendous amount. But we really have to step up. We really have to step up. Everybody in this room, everybody that is a well-wisher, everybody that's been focused on getting this project done, It's such a small little bit of work left. I was confident in signing that agreement. Not that I signed it, but I was confident in giving approval to sign that agreement because I was confident in the community. I was confident in everybody that's done, in everyone that's been involved to date. So I've seen how much work everybody in this room and everybody listening and everybody that's been well-wishing and everybody that's been making dua, I've seen how much effort they've been able how they've been able to move this project forward. And this is the last bit. It's tiny relative to what we've done. It's the last bit. So we can easily do it. But it's going to require consistency, meaning it's going to be month to month, and we have to keep pushing, and we have to keep doing whatever we can. And then this will pass. And then, inshallah, by September sometime, when we occupy the building and we begin to do our work, it'll be a whole new phase, inshallah. It'll be a whole new phase. There's a lot of things, a lot of exciting things that can happen. But we've just got to get through this one last little hump, a hurdle. So, and I know that we can. I don't even have a doubt in my mind. One of the people on the board of directors happens to not be here, and he happened to be at Umrah. So when I was, we had a board of director meeting, and we approved that we would go with this company, and we would do all these things. And so then the one person who was missing, I had a conversation with them on the phone, and I said, look, you need to approve this if you agree. Let me give you the background. So they started saying that, but what happened? But what if we can't? What if we can't, raise that final, get that final push through? And then I basically said to the person, I said, but what have we done so far? And we got so far, and we did it in such an easy way, meaning we had one Ramadan fund, we had one drive, when we first started the project, we had one Ramadan fundraising drive. The next, last Ramadan, we had a 10-day light push. I don't even call it a drive. It was a light push, just thank you, and people just donated. And then we've had the brick drive, which is restrictive in some ways, because the vast majority of people that respond to that will respond at the limit of a brick, right? So they'll say, I've got five family members, so I'll donate five bricks. And some people give, 100 bricks. But most people are going to give, it's a limited drive, and we recognize the limitations of that drive. But now, there'll be a finite number. Inshallah, there'll be a finite number. And that finite goal will have to be achieved. What that number will be, we'll give it to you as soon as we get all that together. But it's going to be, it should be manageable by the entire group. So we need to push to get as much into that account as possible. And that's why you've got these flyers and, you can see, what does it have on it? It has a picture of what the masjid's going to look like. This is like that rendition from the architect, which is fairly close to what it should look like. And then it's got some basic points on the back. So the reason that it's being mentioned now is because it's holidays and people tend to gather with family during holidays, which is a good thing. People should meet with families, but it gives you an opportunity to also say, hey, have you done at least a brick? I think the general public is very excited about bricks, so we can definitely have them take advantage of that because it's an opportunity to put a brick on a building that will be there, inshallah, who knows how long, and will be used in a good way. So we should push the bricks, but then eventually after that, once all the bricks are tabulated and that brick drive is complete, and we basically make a decision internally to say, okay, let's move on to the final fundraising round, then that final fundraising round will need every single person to put in and approach whomever they can. So I'm very confident that we'll get it done, inshallah. And I was mentioning this on the phone earlier today when I was speaking to the person at Umrah that, we've done this much, inshallah. This is just the last step, and the last step to me is the easiest step. So may Allah continue to put barakah in our efforts, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow this building, which has been like a dream for so long, to finally become a reality. But these cards are available, and I think people will pass them out. On the sister side, their sisters' cards are cards for the sisters are available, and here on the brother's side. And by the way, this is an effort which every person, from children to sisters to brothers, we're dependent on every. We have children who have given their pennies, and we have sisters that have given their contributions, and brothers have given their contributions, and spouses, couples have given their contributions, and as a family, contributions have been given. So we're dependent on every single person and everything that they've done. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept every sacrifice that everybody has made to date. May Allah multiply those sacrifices that people have made, and may Allah return them back to each person's account. And may Allah give us the tawfiq, strength, and himmah to be able to just push this final phase through. which I'm very, very confident, inshallah, Allah will continue to bless us just as He has previously. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.